Please turn with me once again to the Gospel according to Mark. Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5, we shall read from verse 24. Verse 24. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind, and touched his garment. For she said, "If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole." And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Amen. We noted on our last occasion how Christ went with Jairus to Jairus's house. That is where they were going. And the reason, of course, was Jairus's daughter was grievously ill. Jairus had requested of Christ that Christ would come and heal her. Many are following Christ, a great crowd. And among them there is a woman. A woman with a very sad and difficult affliction, one that seems to have been incurable as far as man is concerned. And she is in that crowd, and she will come to Christ, and Christ will heal her. That will take place before the Lord and Jairus then make their way to Jairus' house. So we are to consider on this occasion the woman with an issue of blood. And we shall consider in particular at this time the exercising of faith, which is evident in this woman. How she exercised faith in the Lord. And in that she can teach us many things. We, by nature, have the view that if we have any needs, then we're able to meet those needs ourselves. We can sort things out. We can make the effort. We can find the solution. That is how we are. There is no need that I have that I cannot meet myself. And that is so wrong. That shows the darkness that is in our minds. It shows how we are separated from God. Because instinctively, we should be aware that we have needs that only God can meet. And there are needs before God. God in his holiness and God in his justice. And we in our sin. And our focus should always be there. Our state by nature. Our sad spiritual condition coming into this world. Who can do anything about that? Can you mend your own sinful heart? Can you cure it? Can you cease from sin? Can you remove your guilt? You and I can do none of these things. But there is one who can. And this woman understood that. As ever, the healing of the body illustrates the healing of the soul. And we believe that this woman was not only blessed in terms of a cure for her bodily condition, but she also knew the grace of God in the salvation of her soul. Let us consider then, with God's help, this woman exercising faith. The first thing we must note is her ailment. And we learn of it in verses 25 and 26. A certain woman which had an issue of blood. We do not have many further details. It was some sort of hemorrhage, and it was an issue that made her unclean according to the Jewish ceremonial law. We read something of that in Leviticus chapter 15. And that was the main reason for her sadness, because it meant that she was prohibited from public worship. She had to isolate herself. And this had gone on now for 12 years. And when we think about this, that according to that law she was unclean, she should not really have been in the crowd. But her need was so great. And she'd heard of the fame of Christ, the miracles he had performed, and her thought was, well, I must go to him. He can help me. She had sought help, sought it from those you would expect her to seek it from. Physicians. Physicians on earth, they have their place. She went to them. She spent all her living on them. But she only got worse. She got no better at all. By and by she was convinced that her condition was such that it was utterly beyond man's help. There's a lesson in that for us. Our experience as sinners should be teaching us this very truth. If we have any sense, any true sense of sin, personal sin, if our conscience ever accuses us, if we understand something regarding our own heart, how deceitful it is, and desperately wicked, then we will surely realize there is something wrong with us, profoundly wrong, and man has no cure. Or we might attempt the cure, to remedy it ourselves, try to do better, try to live an upright life, try to cease from various sins. Or we might go to our fellows and ask them for some help, some scheme. We might try religion. We might go to some sort of priest and seek help, because we know we're not fit for God. And we desire, having some conscience regarding our accountability and a day of reckoning, to be made fit for God. But we shall not find it within ourselves or from our fellow men. And especially you will realize this if conviction comes, conviction of sin. You remember how Christ in the upper room spoke of the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, and he said to the disciples, when he is come, he will convince the world of sin. He will reprove sinners. He will make them to know their guilt before God. Friends, that is necessary. that is essential if we are ever to know the blessing of salvation. Why would you go before God confessing your sin and doing it again and again if you had no real sense of the seriousness of it? Some do it. You know the ritual in the Roman Catholic Church. It's so-called priests and their confessionals. And those who belong to that church are required to go continually and to confess their sins to that priest. And they are to confess all. And they're seeking something. But they should be understanding this. If they are not relieved of the burden, though the priest might purport to do that for them, I absolve you. If they're not relieved of the burden, are they not going to the wrong person? And should they not be going to the one true priest, to the Lord Jesus Christ? And if they went to Christ and they truly confessed their sin, the gospel assures them that they would be forgiven. And you will only do that and truly repent if you are convinced of your sin, if you know the enormity of it, the weight of it, and understand that there is no man on earth who can help you there. It's not a ritual. It's heartfelt. It's by grace. And it's going to the one who is appointed as the way to God and the way of forgiveness from God. This woman, with her affliction, with her ailment, she had heard of Jesus Christ. And suddenly there was a glimmer of hope. She had become weary, discouraged, because physicians had not been able, even in the least way, to help her condition. But here is hope. One has appeared in the world who is different from mankind, fallen in Adam, sinful themselves, and Christ is sinless. Christ is God manifest in the flesh. Christ has all the power of the Almighty. And we might say, he has all the mercy of the Almighty also. And here is Christ. Well, there is a great crowd, and this woman is just one individual in that crowd. But still she has hope. Something is happening within her soul. There's a drawing, and there's a going to the Lord Jesus Christ. What do you know of Christ? Surely you know much about him, because the Bible teaches you about him. Are you persuaded in your own mind that he is who he claimed to be? Do you believe him to be the crucified and risen Savior? Do you believe him to be at God's right hand, that place of special honor? Do you believe him to be the great high priest of his people? Do you trust in his one sacrifice for sins forever? It is sufficient. There is your hope. You have an ailment. You have a disease. We all do. We got it from Adam. We come into this world with a sinful heart and nature. And we add sin to sin. And there we are. On the way to eternity. On the brink of it. And perhaps we're still bearing our sin, our guilt, and we are corrupt within. No better than we were when we came into the world. Indeed worse, because we've gone further along the path of sin and disobedience. Well, here is hope in Jesus Christ. This woman would have her hope realized in a wonderful way as she would meet the Lord. That brings us to consider now her faith that we've been told of her ailment, an issue of blood, 12 years, and how she had attempted to find a remedy, but to no avail. Well, she has heard of Jesus, and she seeks him, and she will touch Christ's garment. That is what she will do. And we learn three things in connection with that. Her coming to Christ and her touching of his garment. First thing you can see here regarding this woman is her humility, her humble faith. Why do we say humble? We're told she came in the press, in the throng, in the crowd, behind. She was behind, and that is where she wanted to be. She did, after all, have this unclean condition in terms of the Jewish law. She did not want to be recognized. If she had been, perhaps the crowd would have turned upon her. They would have known her, and they would not have wanted to be in her presence, because she was unclean. Probably she covered her face. In every respect, she did not want to stand out. She wanted to be hidden, and yet she wanted to come to Christ. She was determined. She came in the press, in the throng, in the crowd, behind, on every side. She was pressed, but there was something pressing her within. A constraint in her soul. A seeking after the Lord, which was wrought in her by the Spirit of God, so that she would come. She would not be deterred. She would not be turned aside. Hidden there, she would yet press forward, and she would seek to come to Christ. Salvation is like that. There may be many things saying to you, you do not need to think about salvation yet. You have your life, your family, your work, your pleasures. You occupy yourself with these things. These things are important for you. Devote your attention to them. And you have to recognize in that whisper Satan's voice. Because Satan will always seek to cause sinners to delay and to attend to other things, which of course are not the one thing needful. They never are. Seeking Christ, getting Christ, that's the one thing needful. And when we have been enabled to believe in Christ, when we have received Him and rested upon Him for salvation, when we know the forgiveness of our sin, we understand that it was the Lord who brought us. The Lord who gave us strength to come. While this woman was seeking Christ, seeking to come to Him, the very one to whom she was coming was enabling her to come. And that is a great encouragement for us. If we are left to ourselves, we will never be found in Christ. Something will always come in between, and it will always include this: self, pride. We need to be stripped of that. We need to be brought low in our own estimation. We need to see ourselves as helpless, and then we will indeed seek Christ with our whole heart. And He is a merciful High Priest. And He is one who understands our difficulties and has sympathy. And we are to come boldly to the throne of grace in the name of Christ, a sure name, and one who has never failed as the advocate of His people. Seek the Lord while He may be found. A humble faith. You also see the simplicity of her faith. We're told this, that she said, "If I may touch but His clothes, I shall be whole." She was saying that within herself. That was her thought. If I may touch but His clothes, I shall be whole. She could not do as others did and fall at the feet of Jesus because of her condition, because of the crowd. But if she was able to touch Christ's garment, even just the hem of it, then to her that was as good as touching Christ. That would be sufficient. Touching the garment, she would be touching Christ Himself. She reached out her hand to touch Christ's garment. And we believe that at the same time she was reaching out her heart and laying hold of Christ, laying hold of His person, His power, to heal her. That is a wonderful thing. And that is an evidence of grace at work. When there is an apprehension of who Christ is and what Christ is able to do. Who is He? The eternal Son of God. What is He able to do? He's able to save sinners, to make them whole. That is what we are to believe, for that is what the gospel proclaims to us. We read in the book of Exodus, and the anointing, consecration of Aaron, the high priest, and his sons. And Aaron is a type of Jesus Christ. Christ is the gospel Aaron. He is the high priest whose sacrifice His unique sacrifice, the sacrifice of himself, is effectual to take away sin. He purchased redemption when he died on the cross. He suffered unto death, even that cursed death of the cross. And Christ, by his sufferings, has put away sin, merited reconciliation to God and eternal life for all who trust in him. Do you remember that Psalm 133? There's mention of Aaron in that psalm. It's a very brief psalm, but it contains a great deal. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garments. And can you see there Christ prefigured? Christ has an anointing, anointed as high priest of his people. Christ has grace to give. The ointment, the precious ointment of saving grace, flowing down from Christ, flowing down to sinners on earth, giving life to their souls. Do we know something of this grace and something of this life? Only in Christ. Christ, our Aaron. And there's also this, the certainty of her faith. The certainty of it. If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. I shall be whole. Now faith has that certainty. You do not go to Christ seeking help from him, doubting whether he is able to give you that help. You go to Christ believing that he is well able to help and ready to help. I shall be whole. We need to be fully persuaded in our own minds, in all our dealings with the Lord. Firstly, regarding our own sin, that we are indeed sinners through and through. But then also, Christ is sufficient to take away our sin. So she went to Christ. So she touched his garment, even the hem of it. And what of ourselves? Perhaps we might say this. The good news for us is this. Jesus Christ wears a long garment still. A long garment. So he is accessible to sinners, wherever they may be on the face of this earth. Even here today, in the congregation, Christ is near. And you need to do what this woman did. By the hand of faith, lay hold upon Jesus Christ. And the hem of his garment might speak to us of the ordinances, the means of grace whereby Christ is made known, and we may know him. The word and prayer. So go to God in Christ's name. Go as you are, by the hand of faith, lay hold of him. And in Christ, you will know a full salvation. That brings us to our third and final point, her cure, to consider the woman's cure. Verse 29, and straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. It seems that the very moment she was able to reach out her hand and touch Christ's garment, the cure was effected. That is a feature of what Christ wrought when he was in the world. The healings of Christ, immediate, the cure, instant. And so the issue of blood no longer troubled her. The very source of it, of this issue, dried up. The Lord did that for her. And it would seem that the physicians she had gone to previously, they had not even been able to trace the source of the issue, let alone to stop the flow of blood. It was such a difficult condition, and it was one that troubled her constantly. She was always thinking about it. It was always weighing upon her mind. And also because of this, as we have said, the separation she had to endure. Living alone, perhaps, and not able to gather with God's people for worship. There's something that Mark brings out which we should note. The woman has the issue, and the issue of blood, is to her, in her mind, a sort of plague. That's the word used at the end of verse 29. She was healed of that plague. And in the original, the word is a scourge. It could even be translated as a whip. But you know what a scourge is? An affliction. And an affliction with a purpose behind it. We can say that there is no affliction that we might experience in this world that has no purpose to it. Because God is the God of providence, and God sends everything, and he has his reason for doing that. But why should this woman think of this affliction as a plague, a scourge? We're not told. But we know this. The way in which many of the Lord's people have been awakened to their need, their spiritual need, is through some affliction. It can take so many different forms. It can be some loss, which leaves you bereft, and sorrowing, and struggling to cope. It may be some bodily ailment. The Lord knows what he is doing. He does not afflict the children of men willingly, in the sense that it is simply out of some sovereign pleasure. There's a purpose in it. Purpose in it. And it's consistent with God's being, with his character. God is good, and his goodness is evident in his dealings with his people. And that goodness is not always apparent to us. It would not have been evident to this woman that this issue of blood could have any good in it. She would hardly see that. Only someone with a very spiritual mind, and a mind exercised very much in the things of God, would be able to see that, to see it clearly. But now, this affliction, how lengthy it had been, how impossible it seemed to be that any cure could be found, it was driving her. The Lord was using it. The Lord was prompting her. The Lord was constraining her to seek Himself. God may use afflictions to bring sinners to their senses and to bring them to their knees in the way of prayer. We know that there are many in this world who have very difficult conditions to bear. Outwardly, in terms of their lot, in terms of their physical condition, inwardly too, with regard to the things that they suffer in their minds because of their outward condition. And many who are in such a sad state may have a sort of humility about them. They're poor, they're outcast, no one thinks much of them, they do not think a great deal of themselves. But that of itself will not bring us help. It's the going to God. It's the seeking of the Lord. It's that humbling which has the purpose coming from God of making us aware of the reason why man is as he is. Why we are as we are. Sin is the reason. Adam's sin, the fall of man, man's ongoing rebellion against God. And we need to be brought to our knees, as we say, in terms of calling upon the Lord in prayer. The Lord seems to have used this affliction in the experience of this woman to bring her to that point where, hearing of Jesus Christ, she would seek Him and go to Him for healing. That is what she did. That is what she received. Her thought was, if I may touch but His clothes, I shall be whole. Touching Christ's garment, she was whole, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. She knew something had taken place. She knew that she had been restored. She knew that regarding the issue of blood, regarding her body. But did she not know it also with regard to her soul? Very often in Christ's dealings, the two are going together. We cannot always tell whether the one came initially with saving faith or just some belief that here was someone who could give some help. It seems that with this woman, she had a genuine faith in Jesus Christ. She honored Him by that faith. But as we shall see on another occasion, God willing, The way Christ spoke to her eventually suggests that she was one of his and one who knew the Lord in a saving way. And knew that she was now whole with regard to her heart, her life, for time, for eternity, that she had salvation for her soul. So I ask you this, have you felt any such thing? Do you know any such thing? Do you know where you stand with God? And that is not something to put off. That is an urgent thing. We're not told how long we have. We do not know what a day will bring forth. There is an urgency. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Have you had dealings with the Lord? Has the Lord had dealings with you? Has the conclusion been coming to Christ, laying hold of him by faith as Lord and Savior, and pardon and cleansing from sin? And we cannot rest, we must not rest, until we are sure of that in our hearts. A lesson then from this woman who had an issue of blood, exercising faith. And we must do the same. And the Lord will give the blessing, even his salvation. May God bless his word to us. Let us pray. Eternal One, we seek grace to be able to enter into these things and see how they apply to ourselves. We are indeed poor and needy in ourselves. We have infinite guilt, and we are so very corrupt within ourselves. But here is the great healer. Here is the heavenly physician. And we pray that in his name, even as we look to thee for mercy, that we would all be, like this woman, made whole. Bless us according to our need, and all for Jesus' sake. Amen.